Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And the two, meaning Elijah and Elisha, stood by the Jordan. And Elisha took his mantle and wrapped it together, smote the waters, and there they were divided hither and thither, so that the two of them went over on dry ground. Somebody say they went over on dry ground. What that means is that God's getting ready to make a way in front of you, and you're not even going to have to get your feet muddy. Three of you received that. God bless you three. Man, that's awesome. Verse 9, and it came to pass when they had gone over, Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let me have a double portion of thy spirit. Let it be upon me. I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, level up. Somebody say, level up. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, level up. Tell them, we got to move on. We got to move forward. You may be seated. How many gamers do I have in the house? You like to play video games? Here's just a little funny thing about me. The first 9 or 10 months of our marriage, Pastor Manny and I literally played video games every night for the first 9 or 10 months. We played Major League Baseball, and I beat her every single time. And then Tyler was born, and she quit playing video games with me. But we grew up playing video games. We grew up on Atari first, and then you had the Nintendo, the NES, and you played Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt and all those things. Here's another crazy piece of information. This will shock you. Pastor Becky's an old school gamer. There's a game called The Legend of Zelda. Came in a gold cartridge. She loved that game. She played that game. I mean, this church would be twice as big if she had never started playing that game. As God is my witness, I would wake up at 3 a.m. in the middle of the night. I'm 8 years old, and Pastor Becky would be sitting there in front of my TV playing the game. As God, I'm not kidding. That is the gospel truth. She played that. She played Tetris, and she played another game called Dr. Mario. Those were her three go-to games. But I love Pastor Becky, because when Pastor Becky was playing Zelda, she thought it was a Kinect before we ever had the movement. And when she was playing, she moved with the. But when you're playing games, you're always trying to do what? Go to the next level. And you cannot go to the next level until you learn enough at the level you're on to pass what they call the boss man at the end of that level. And it doesn't matter if you have to fight him 1,000 times. If you have to fight him, if you don't beat him, you don't move on. And then there's those gamers that are really good, that they can do it in 3 or 4 times. But then there's people like me, who, while Pastor Becky's struggling at 3 a.m. to find her way through The Legend of Zelda, me and Sean just went down and ordered a cheat book that was about that thick, had all the maps, all the secrets, told us everything we needed to do to get to the next level. Pastor Becky's struggling on level 2. Me and Sean are on level 7. How'd you get to level 7? Oh, we're just that good. Can I encourage you that as we go through the levels in life, you can fight the same boss man 1,000 times. Or you can get the cheat code. We call it the Bible. And you can get in the book. Come on now, somebody. That's good preaching. I know we're talking about video games, but it'll preach either way. You can get in the Bible. And while somebody at 3 a.m. is struggling with level 2, you're on level 32. And when they ask you, how'd you get that way? You just got to say, I'm just that good. Actually, my God's just that good. And so I want to talk to you just for the next 8, 10, 12 minutes on leveling up and getting to the next level of your life. And when we talk about level up and we hear the word, and I've been guilty of it and I've preached about it all the time, next level, next level, next level living, we're going higher, new dimension, greater, all of those things. And they're all great sounding, but we have to understand that until we put some actions with it, we will always be stuck at the same level. And just like when you were 10 years old playing your video games, there is always going to be a big bad enemy at the end of the current level you're in that is going to try to prevent you from breaking through to new ground. and breaking through to a new place and a new level of life and a new level of living. Isn't it amazing that our entire life is revolved and revolves around leveling up and going higher than we have been before? As we grow up, we are embedded with the thought of getting to the next level. You've heard preachers preach and teachers teach about getting to the next level. However, the practicality is not there. How do we do it, Pastor? I know that there is another level out there, but how do we get to that next level? I remember what it was like for Tyler to come into our lives. And man, he's 4 or 5 months old, and we're already trying to teach him words. We're already trying to teach him to say things. 9, 10 months old, we don't want him to crawl, or we want him to crawl. Come on, baby, just crawl to me, just crawl to me. And isn't it amazing that the first moment he starts crawling, we celebrate his crawling for 3 minutes, and then we're like, come on, stand up. And then the moment he stands up, it's, come on now, walk to me. And we have these levels that we celebrate once we get through to something, but we have been embedded from the moment that we were young, that once we get to a certain place, that there is no more levels. You get to kindergarten, and they celebrate your graduation from kindergarten to first grade. After 6 years, you get to level up into junior high. After a couple years in junior high, you level up to high school. We just celebrated those that have leveled out of high school to college or out of college onto the workforce. But isn't it amazing that after high school and after college, that the leveling up ceases to happen for most people? Which means at the very best, around 22 years of age, most people, wherever they are in their life, have hit cruise control and they are fine with coasting for the rest of their life. But this is not that church, and you are not that people. We don't have a cruise control. We don't have a coasting mechanism at Living Way. We don't want to just abide until God comes back. We want to be going next level every chance that we get. We don't ever want to rest on our haunches and rest on our laurels. We want to continue into what God has called us to have and called us to be. If you're taking notes, write this down. There is always a next level. There is always, turn to your neighbor and tell him, there is always a next level. Samuel was a young man, and Samuel is dropped off, and he was a young man, but his mom said, I cannot get him to the next level where he's at, and she geographically changed where he was. You fast forward to another man, Caleb, 85 years old, and God is still saying, next level. Caleb, I know you're old. Caleb, I know you've lived for 80. Caleb, I know you've lived 8.5 decades, but I'm here to tell you, there's more than where you're standing today. There's more than where you're living. Can I encourage you that the day you said yes to Jesus Christ, you should break the brakes off of your car. You should break the cruise control off of your car, because we ain't cruising, we ain't coasting, we ain't braking. It is full-fledged ahead into the purpose and the destiny that God has called us to have. Somebody say, level up. So Samuel at a young age, Caleb At an old age, give me this mountain. If there is a next level, God wants you there. If there's a next level, God wants you there. Can I talk to the 16 and 17 year olds in the house that you just got your first job at Chick-fil-A? God bless Chick-fil-A and McDonald's. God bless the $8 an hour they're paying you. But $8 an hour was never designed for you to live off of. That's an entry-level position that you are supposed to move from and go to next level. The bar, and I hate to talk about the generation. We'll talk about them because they're not here. The bar has been set so incredibly low by your peers. I'm talking to the young people now. That all you have to do is show up to McDonald's 15 minutes before your shift starts. And before you leave, go to your manager and say, I went off the clock 10 minutes ago, but is there anything I need to do before I leave? Keep a smile on your face. I promise you in 90 days, you will be managing that store. And listen, if you stick with it, you'll be a regional manager, or you'll own a McDonald's, and I can come get some fries from you. The same thing holds true about every aspect in life. There's always a next level. There's always a next level. Pastor Manny and I have been married for 15 years, but there's always a next level. I know her better today than she's ever known me, and she knows me better than even I know myself. We're to the point in our relationship where we can finish each other's
Whataburgers.
That's exactly right, Whataburgers. See, we're on that totally unplanned there, totally unplanned. In our relationship, I met Mandy, and I knew the first time that I met her after she got rid of the boy cut and was not a tomboy. That was when she was 9. When I met her again, I knew I wanted to marry that girl. Our second phone conversation of ever, we professed our love for each other and both talked about marrying each other. Problem was, she was a junior in high school. Uh-oh. Problem was, she wasn't 18 yet. Uh-oh. Biggest problem is her dad's 320 pounds and a forensic detective and works for Comal County. Double uh-oh. But I knew that if I wanted to marry her, that I had to level up. I had to move this from friendship to engage, or to boyfriend, to engagement, to marriage. Some of us are living on the outskirts of covenant because we will not level up and move into the place that God wants us to. Come on now. Some of us know Jesus as a Savior, but we still haven't made Him our Lord. Some of us know Jesus. He got us out of hell, and we've got an eternity, but we didn't know that Jesus could be our banker. Jesus could be our health professional. Jesus could be our counselor. Jesus could be, come on somebody, I'm here to tell you, next level, what you are living at right now, it might be good, but it is not enough. After 15 years, we're finishing each other's Whataburgers. Our spiritual walk is just the same. We're always encouraged to get to the next level, accept Jesus as your Savior. And when you are encouraged to grow and mature and move past the milk and get to the meat, and all of that sounds good, but I need to know, you keep talking about next level. How do I get to that place? That's where Elisha was. Elisha loved God. Elisha loved the things of God. But Elisha was not satisfied with the status quo. I'm talking to the 25 graduates and talking to everybody in this building today. Say no to the status quo of this world. Don't accept what the world wants to give you. If you don't like it, send it back. If it don't taste good to you, send it back. If it shows up at your front door and that's not what you expected, send it back. I'm not going to, just because the world takes it doesn't mean I have to take it. Just because other believers will say, well, that's just what the world has. You take the world by the throat and make it cough up to you what God and Jesus died to give you. Say, well, there's no jobs that I want. Start a business. Be your own boss. Your satisfaction has to be established in Christ. When we allow our only place of satisfaction to be found in Christ, satisfaction is not a destination, but it is rather a goal that is continuously sought after. I mimic the words of the singer that I can't get no satisfaction. I love what God has done in my life. I love what God has done in this church and in your life, but I am not satisfied. Oh, I am grateful. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for me. But I wake up on Monday morning and I'm hungry for more. I wake up on Tuesday morning and I'm hungry for more. And God shows up and does something big, and I say, Jesus, that's just like you to do that, but I want something more. Say no to the status quo. So often, however, in our Christian walk, we become comfortable. Everybody say comfortable. And the word that we hear a lot is just relax. You get all hype, and somebody just says, relax. The enemy would love for us to relax. The enemy would love to say, Pastor Brandon, you've got a big building. So many people come to this church. Just relax. I won't relax until this building's filled 10 times over. I won't relax until thousands of people are giving their lives to Jesus Christ and being baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I won't relax until we've got to stop baptizing people just to change out the water. I won't relax until we have problems parking people. I won't relax until we've got CNN and Fox News wanting to know what we're doing to get people healed of HIV, AIDS, and every cancer known to man. I am not here to relax. I am here to run the race that God has set before. I'm here to tell you, teenagers, don't exhale. Don't say, well, look what I've done. Say, look at what the Lord has done the last 13 of my years to bring me to this place, but I am raring to go. You better watch out, Prairie View A&M. You better watch out, Texas State, because there's somebody that's not just coming to get a degree. There's somebody that's coming to shift the atmosphere that God has placed that God has placed me in. Three things really quickly. Pastor Becky, if you'll just come up and put some pressure on me to stop. Number one, you must have an unwavering focus to level up. I talked to the young people last night. Repetition gives birth to perfection. It's not doing things right the first time. Y'all, I've been eating right for 2 months. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. And I went one day eating right, and I went on a jog slash run slash crawl one time, and I stepped on the scale. Come on, God, I've been suffering for a day. Where's this loss at? Repetition. Getting in your word every day. That's why David said seven times a day. Coming to church every Sunday, you're in San Antonio, getting to the house of God. Finding a place to serve in repetition. You need, come on now, you need a focus in your life, an unwavering focus. Three times in this account in 2 Kings, Elijah told Elisha, I'm going to Bethel and I'll be back. Elisha said, you're not going anywhere where I can't see you, because I know that when I see you go, I get your mantle. And so to go to the next level, you have to understand that you've got to get your focus on the right thing and not let it out of your sight. And so Elijah comes and says, Elisha, I'm going to Bethel. You stay here. Elisha says, wherever you go, I go. He said, well, I'm done at Bethel. Now I'm going to Jericho. You stay here. I'll be back. He said, if you're going to Jericho, I'm going to Jericho. He said, I've got to focus on you because I know what is on the line. The next level for my life and what God has called me to be is on the line. He said, all right, I'm back from Jericho. I need to go to Jordan. You stay here. And Elisha said, no, I will continue on. It wasn't the first time at Bethel that he received the mantle. It wasn't the second trip to Jericho where he received the mantle. But it was the third trip to a place called Jordan. When the chariots of fire came and took Elijah, I want you to grab hold of what I'm going to preach to you here in the next 60 seconds. It wasn't the first time that he received his breakthrough. It wasn't the second time that he received the favor of God. But it was a repetition, and I'm here to tell you, you might not get it this Sunday, but you better be here next Sunday. Next Sunday could be your Sunday, and it might not be the next Sunday, but I'm going to come every Sunday, because eventually Elijah's going to be called up, the mantle's going to come, and if I'm here focused with an unwavering focus, I'm going to be able to get the double portion that God said I could have. Isaiah verse 50, chapter 50, verse 7, for the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded, therefore have I set my face like a flint. Set your face on the right thing. Focus on the right thing. Focus on God things. Focus on His Spirit, on His fire, on His anointing. Luke 9:62, Jesus would say, and Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. It's not only what is your eye focused on, what is your hand focused on? What your eye and what your hand do together and what they're focused on will determine whether we truly ever level up. Number one was unwavering focus. Number two thing we have to do to level up is have an unrelenting pursuit that I never stop. I never give up. Luke 18:5, Jesus tells a parable. He said, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her. This widow came to this judge every day and said, I need you to avenge mine enemy. Every day she came. And listen, the judge did not give her the response she wanted because she had a lot of faith in that one moment. He gave her what she wanted because she was repetitious and she would not let that thing go. Would not let that thing. You say, man, that guy's always in the altar. What's he doing? He's just trying to get that unjust judge to cough up what God said it would cough up. You need a pursuit that cannot be stopped. Every time that Elijah told Elisha, I'm going to Bethel, and he would go and he would follow him, there would be people in Bethel saying, don't you know that Elijah's going to die today? And Elisha would say, I don't know if it's today or not. God will show me that, but all I do know is this, that I'm focused on the right thing. My eye is set like a flint. My hand is to the plow, and my feet is in a hot, unrelenting pursuit of that which is going to give me a double portion. Somebody say, unrelenting pursuit. Number three, man, God dropped this in my spirit a couple days ago. It's a different word to use with faith here, but number three is an unapologetic faith. An unapologetic faith. What does that mean? That you have to have nerve enough to ask God for a double portion when people are living on less than zero portion. You have to have an unapologetic faith to say, listen, you can die starving if you want. You can die without if you want. But you having something or not having something does not decide the level that God has allowed me to step into. And so when all things end and Elijah turns to Elisha and says, what do you want? With a lot of nerve and with a lot of attitude, Elisha says, whatever you have, I want a double portion on me. Don't ever apologize for big faith. Don't ever apologize for big favor. Don't ever apologize that your dreams are big. Don't ever apologize that your vision is big. I'm here to tell you, two young ladies just showed you that if you'll work hard and ask for enough, that God will show up and dump $2 million. And I hope Brother Mike doesn't mind me sharing this, but Sister Trish told me that somebody told Brother Mike, you shouldn't be telling people that they got $2 million. You should keep that to yourself. You're acting proud and all that. I'm here to tell you, not only I want you to tell complete strangers. I want you to post it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, it, YouTube it. I want you to tell everybody, don't ever apologize just because you were here, but you have leveled up. And I'm not staying here, and I'm not staying here. I've got an unapologetic faith that says my God can and my God will. If you want to stay there, stay there. But as for me and my house, stand on your feet. Woo! I don't know how you feel about Jesse Duplantis. I love Jesse Duplantis. He don't owe an interview to CNN or Fox News. They can mock him all that they want. All I know is that Jesse Duplantis is the only pastor in 44 years that has ever come here on his own dime. And when we gave him his honorarium, he sent it right back to us and said, I wanted to come and be a blessing. I don't need a dime. I just wanted to come and bless somebody. He's the only one in 44 years. And now your mind's running through everybody that's been here in the last 44 years. They sure took their check quick, but Jesse said, nah, I don't need it. God will provide. He is unapologetic. If he needs a jet, God, give him a jet so he can keep preaching. Focus, a relentless pursuit, and an unapologetic faith. Ask for greater. Ask for bigger. Ask for more anointing. Ask for bigger miracles. Come on now, ask God for something crazy. Ask God for something outlandish. I want a double portion. There's somebody in here. I want a church like Bishop Jakes. Why do you want his church? I want a church twice as big so I can reach more people. I want the anointing of Joel. Why do you want his anointing? Well, give me a double portion, whatever Pastor Joel, whatever Bishop Jakes got. I want a double portion. Unapologetic. Don't apologize for where you live, what you drive, what you wear. Don't apologize for it. It came from God. The only thing you got to do is redirect all that to God. Man, that's a nice car you're driving. God bless me. Man, look at that house you moved into. Yeah, man, God, let me tell you about that story, how God orchestrated all that so my family could move in. Man, Brother Mike, you're doing something great with those kids. Man, look at that. It's God. Brother Mike's a smart guy, but it's God. It's God. One of my friends called me and said, man, that Tyler, he said, man, that dude's a beast. And I'd love to say, well, man, I taught him everything he knows. I haven't taught him anything of that. That's all God. Unapologetic. I want to talk to people, and I don't want you to wait. I want you to join me right now. Anybody in the room that's ready to level up? Level up. Next level, next level, next level, next level. Next level in your marriage, next level in your ministry, next level in your anointing, next level in your money, next level in your health, next level in school and education, next level in career. Maybe it's time to start that business. I just need people that are ready to level up, level up, level up, level up. An unwavering faith. An unwavering focus. God, I'm looking at you. Come on, in this altar right now, think about that. God, my eyes are trained on you. God, my eyes are trained. Look at all these people filling this altar. Praise God. I didn't preach long, but God preached good. God spoke to you. God spoke to your heart. An unwavering focus. I want you to think about this. If you're in this altar, everybody in this house can, but especially in this altar, what are you looking at? What are you focused on? Bad? Good? Indifferent? Curse? Blessing? God can, God won't. Why isn't God? I don't know where you're at. What's your focus? Then I want to ask you, what's your pursuit? What are you after? What do you look at? What are your hands doing? But where are your feet taking you? What are you pursuing? I got a lot of pursuits in my life, but my main and first pursuit is always chasing after the things of God. And finally, where's your faith? Unapologetic faith. Let me talk to one of the other 16 that graduated high school, and you heard the Johnson girls, and man, $2 million, I didn't have that. They're not going to apologize, but I'm going to tell you, you can still get that. It's 3 months till school starts. You can have 23 schools knocking down your door. You do what you need to do, and God will do what he needs to do. When you have an unwavering focus and an unrelenting pursuit, in an unapologetic faith, boom, you level up. You get past that boss at the end of that level, and you get to a new place in God. If you're in this altar right now, I want you to lift both hands, and I want you to say, God, I'm ready. Come on, begin to say that. God, I'm ready. Come on, just talk to him. God, I've learned some stuff on this level that I've been stuck in. God, I've learned some stuff on this level that I've been living. I'm ready, God, to go to next level. I'm ready to bust through those things that have been trying to hold me back. I'm going to step off this platform. Pastor Mandy, if you'll help me pray. Pastoral team, if you'll...